I want to say some things about, I've titled the message, The Prophetic Word, because as I said, we haven't had prophetic ministry in a while. Let me repeat what Steve Fidel said. The greatest prophetic word you will ever receive, you have already received. Thank you. Amen. Let me say it again. The greatest prophetic word you will ever receive, you have already received. God, help us. Help us, Father. Okay? Now, he said that, and the scripture bears it out. Listen what Revelation 1 and 3 says. John, the revelator speaking, blessed is he who reads. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. So what that means is, church, at very least, read the book of Revelation. Come on. At the very least, because that's the book he was talking about. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The time is near at hand, church. Then in Revelation 22, verse 7, Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And so he refers to it as the prophecy of this book. I was telling my children at home that a quarter of the Bible is prophecy. One quarter. Major prophets, minor prophets, and then in both the poetical, historical books, there are more prophecies. And so he also said, and you'll remember this, that when you receive a prophetic word, fast, especially if it's a directional prophetic word, to fast and pray over the word before acting on it. He referenced Esther chapter 4, where Mordecai had told Esther, perhaps, could it be that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And she fasted 3 days, her and her maidens, and rightfully so, because she was risking her life. And so if a prophet comes and tells you that you're to go over in Syria and walk them into an ISIS camp and tell them the gospel, you better fast and pray before you get on the plane. Hello. I said, you better fast and pray before you go get on the plane and fulfill that, try and fulfill that prophetic word. That's essentially what I'm trying to make it extreme so that you get the point. But let me give you a story real quick. Real quick story of a pastor, was a friend. He's preached in this church. He's gone on to be with the Lord, him and his wife now, gone on to be with the Lord. But in his church, they had prophets in. And the prophets, and this happened to my wife and I while they were actually, to an extent, didn't go as far as these prophets did. But anyhow, these prophets were prophesying, and they got this couple, these two young people who were engaged to be married or they were in a relationship. And the prophecies in the prophetic presbytery, the prophecies went to the point of telling them, this is of God, you're to marry one another. Now, same rule applies. Prophet tells you this is your wife, this is your husband. Before you go get the blood test and buy the ring, let me tell you something. You better fast and pray. You better know God told you and not a prophet. Hello. Because I'm going to just jump on ahead and get, because Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11 says, no man will say to his neighbor in that day, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. They all shall know me. You have to understand, in the Old Testament, when the prophet came, the prophetic spirit rested on the prophet. God's people, they offered offerings and all that, but they were not hearing from God. No, no, no. The way we take for granted, man, we hear from God. Listen, you hear from God all the time. You may not think about it, but you do. He's living on the inside of you. Sometimes, whether you pick up the Bible or not, you hear from God. You do, okay? Well, the Old Testament saints, they didn't. But when the prophet came, then they would hear from God, right? Well, so this couple, these prophets, knew, I mean, this is, what, 30 years ago, whatever, 20-some years ago? And this poor young girl and young man, they get married. Both of them Christians. In the church, Holy Spirit filled, loving God. 5 years, bam, over, done, divorced, shipwrecked, whole thing, just over. And the heartbreak, the crying, the, you know, it's just ugly, nasty, just a hard thing to see these young people have to go through this. All because a prophet said. Now, if a prophet is seasoned and mature, like what happened with me and my wife, as they were prophesying over me in 1992, and one prophet, you remember Clem, honey? Clem said, he says, there's a relationship. They just want you to know, or they said to you, I can't remember who they said. He said, you got the right one. They said it to you. Said, you got the right one, because she was praying, or her eyes out saying, this man going to drive me crazy. Lord help me. Is this the one I'm supposed to marry? So she was praying, trying to find out, and the Lord, through the prophet, said to her, you got the right one. And I'm like over there praying, looking up. And so once they found out that they got into that territory, the prophets stood up and they backed off and said, okay, we feel like we're going into an area now. We're going to back up. We're not going to. And they were, because they were mature and they understood that you don't do that. Right. Even if something you're feeling something. Right. You know, everything that God shows you, you're not supposed to tell. Listen, I mean, so for those of us who may have a budding prophetic ministry of whatever sort, everything God tells you, he's not showing you to tell, to reveal it to people. Hello. Remember Joseph with his dreams? They were prophetic dreams. Yeah, but he probably really should have kept his mouth shut. He, you know, just hold that back. God's word to you is the most important, okay? God's word, this word, the prophetic word is secondary. Why? Because the written word is what we use to judge the prophetic word. The objective word is what we use to judge the subjective word, right? And so, very important to remember that. What is prophecy? All legitimate prophecy points to Jesus. We can say that. But prophecy is also the mind and will of God being declared by a human agent. The mind and will of God being declared by a human agent. Prophecy is forthtelling the word of God, and on occasion, the foretelling of events. Let me say that again. Prophecy is the forthtelling of the word of God, and on occasion, the foretelling of events. Most prophecy is forthtelling, but you know what we like the most? Foretelling. It just shows you, you know what appeals to the flesh. You understand? There are Christians who chase prophetic ministries all around the place. You know why? Because they want the prophet to tell them something that's going to happen. Hello. God isn't interested in you knowing everything that's going to happen. Why? Because then you wouldn't have to operate in your faith. You wouldn't have to believe God. You wouldn't have to trust God. You wouldn't have to. I had one prophet, apostle slash prophet, was preaching ministry one day. He said, a man came to me and he asked me, he says, I want to ask, he says, please ask the Lord if it's his will for me to start this business. Prophet turned to the man and says, man, if you don't know whether or not you want to do this business, I ain't got no words for you. What on earth are you talking? He says, you don't go. Listen, a prophet's not going to lead you, tell you, turn right here. Go get a job there. This is the person to marry. No, don't buy that car. By the way, that happened in the 1980s. It's called the shepherding movement. It wasn't prophetic, but it was foolishness. It was foolishness. It was leaders of churches telling people, matching people up in the young people of the church. You two ought to be married. You're supposed to sell your house and move there. No, don't get that car. Buy this car. That was going on in the church. And you wonder why the church doesn't have answers for the world. Well, that's part of the reason why, when foolishness like that is going on. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, John, speaking to an angel, was so overcome, he says, I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All prophecy is to testify of Jesus Christ. All prophecy. All prophecy is to testify of Jesus. Revelation 19:10. And so let me say again, prophecy is forthtelling. When I say forthtelling, what is forthtelling? And we do forthtelling here all the time. Okay? I just did it before church. When I did it, Marilyn said, "Oh, that hit me." I said, "Mm-hmm." And what I shared with her was what I just shared with you about Savannah Guthrie and that whole thing about when she said, "I don't know how to reconcile this thing." That thing fell on me while I was at work. That thing hit me, and I was like, "Oh, that's from God right there. No question about that." And but forthtelling is simply speaking the word of God. Speaking the word of God. Listen, we prophesy the word of God, okay? And when you know the word of God, and you can have the word of God in you, you're much more likely then to prophesy. Why? Because you're telling what is happening in you. When the scripture comes to you, you just give it to the people. Prophecy isn't all that deep, okay? Now, we saw the highest level of prophecy here on Sunday, and so, that's deeper than what we're used to because he's a prophet. I'll get to that in a second. Right now, I'm just talking about prophecy generally. But the whole body of Christ is... The prophetic spirit, the spirit of prophecy, rests upon each and every one of us. We can all prophesy. I got one amen. Let me say it again. I said we can all prophesy. And the reason why the amen didn't come real quick is because when we think of prophecy, we think of foretelling. And that's, I'm not saying I don't want you to think of foretelling, but when we get to the spirit of prophecy and what prophecy is in the church, and the reason why I gave prophecy, you'll see why I'm saying forthtelling is the majority of what happens with prophecy. Okay? And so when I say that you all can prophesy, I prophesy in the house. I prophesy at work. Come on. I prophesy. I'm talking to people at work, and I can tell when the prophetic spirit rests on me, and I'm about to say something. What comes out of my mouth is God, plain and simple. And why can I say that so nonchalantly? Because I know I ain't the one doing it. Hello? Hello? I don't know anything. I know nothing. You understand? And I tell you what, when God speaks, something happens. And in the church, when you prophesy, it'll bear witness to God's children. If God's speaking through you, it will witness in you. It'll witness with others, and it'll bring life and minister life and healing to others, right? Much of prophecy is not only foretelling, but much of prophecy is declaring what was and what is. Hello? Much of prophecy has to do with what you already know, and is therefore confirmation. Hello? Much of prophecy is confirmation. That's why when we stood here last Sunday, and the prophet said, Carl and Diane were the first ones. I won't forget it. And so when the prophet came and says, "Brother, you're going to be called upon to bring a word." I said, he right on him. He right on him. Now listen. When he said that, he said it with a future tense, but it's also something Carl has already done. Hello. Something that he does. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Carl has the gift of prophecy. Carl prophesies all the time. You hear him here Sunday mornings, but you're not here Tuesday evenings, most of you. And you don't hear when he goes into, and he'll exhort. Diane does the same thing. He'll exhort with a scripture and just go with it. And there's a prophetic edge to it. You can feel it. You can sense life coming. He's prophesying. And we think a whole lot more of him if he stood up and says, "Thus saith God." But we don't do that. Why? Because you don't have to do that when God speaks through you. You don't have to announce it to the world. I feel God. Are you ready? Now, there are plenty of places that do that. Oh, there are plenty of places that do that. I'll let you know. I told you before, there are plenty of places they have when the minister comes, he has the $150 line. Then he has the $90 prophecy line. And then the $30 prophecy line. I see you looking at me kind of funny. You probably haven't heard of this. Oh, this has been going on for years. Yeah. And if you want the $150 prophecy, then you get in that line and you pay. And then I prophesy to you a whole bunch of foolishness. But you believe it because you paid. Because we are a consumer society. And we come to the church like we come to the world, like we're going to Walmart. I want the best, so I'm getting in this line. I pay you, you give me, like you can buy God. God said, like Peter told in Acts chapter 8 when he told Simon, he said, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. But now it goes on. It goes on in South America. It goes on. It probably goes on. It happens here in America. Hello. I'm getting away from my notes now, y'all. Let me bring it back. Where was I? Oh, and so let me just say that, you know, we think that prophecy is always, tell me something I don't know. I want to see something that's going to happen. No, you need to know that much of prophecy is about your past because it confirms to you that you know God. This man is hearing from God. Huh? When the man said to my son, you a miracle child, I said, there it went. Oh, what? Almost knocked my wife off a chair. Because I don't remember telling him the story about Justin's birth. I don't remember that. He said, you're the miracle child. I said, what? Okay. When he said, Diane, you can sing, but you're going to sing the song of the Lord. I went, there it is. See, why? Because we know Diane. Hello. We know her. And I know that there's a deeper song. I know that there's more in her than she's sung to date. Oh, yes. And he was putting his hand on it. He was getting after it, right? When he turned to Emmanuel and said, Emmanuel, you're going to bring in a harvest. I looked at him. I said, man, have you seen Emmanuel? You remember Emmanuel come here with 4 or 5 friends coming through the door? I said, man, he all over it. I mean, because that's Emmanuel. Wherever he goes, he gathers a crowd. Hello. Why? Because that's what God's doing through him. That's how God uses him. When he said Mary will minister life as a caregiver, he doesn't know what Mary he does not know what Mary's studying in college. But we know what Mary's studying in college. Amen? And so that witness, what was that confirmation? So listen, when someone else is getting a prophetic word, you can get blessed because you know the person. And you're blessed because you're hearing God say, wow, look at God. Look at what he's saying. Look at what he's doing. Then he turned to Sarah. And he said, there's much more in you that meets the eye. I went, ooh, there it go. You get that about Sarah, huh? You say, there's more to Sarah. He said, young lady, you don't like it when people just look at your beauty and think it is skin deep. There's more to me than meets the eye. I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then he said this. He said, but you're going to sing. I said, uh-oh. He said, y'all remember this? Or you remember this? He said, you're going to sing and people going to be blessed by what comes out of your mouth. I don't remember it all. I remember some of it, though. Hello. Then he turned to Anna and talked about Anna, this little, here Anna, Josh's widow, this little thing. You're going to have a voice. Now, we know she's an opera singer and she has a tremendous operatic gift. I mean, if you haven't heard that this little paint come out of her, girl can sing. But she's going to have a voice for the disenfranchised, those who aren't privileged. And she told me after church, she says, I teach a class that's 90% Hispanic, 10% Black, or vice versa, something like that. And she says, and the school system's always trying to not give them what's best. She says, he doesn't know, but I'm constantly in the school system's face speaking up for those children. So what am I trying to share? I'm trying to share with you that prophecy is not always just foretelling. He was putting his finger on what's happening now. See, why? Because God is standing in your past, your present, and your future, right? So he's there now. He sees it all, okay? And so prophecy isn't just foretelling. It's much more than that. When Loretta came up, he said, hush, little baby, don't you cry. God's going to be like, God, you a little bit, whatever. And she just went to pieces. Man, I thought, doesn't God know you? Listen, if that doesn't show you, God knows you. And he knows everything you need. And I thought, How precious. Looked at Daniel and said, you're going to be a successful man. Chelsea came up, and my goodness, he said, you're carefree. And I about lost my mind. I laughed so hard, I had to get a control of myself. He says, you're like a free spirit. I'm like, oh, yes, that's Chelsea. And ministered to her and to Chris, the young man. When he turned around, and when Dan and Sherry walked up, he said, you're like a workhorse. He said, war horse, then he said workhorse. And I said, man, he nailed it there. Because, man, every time, see, y'all don't know. See, Sherry be texting me, Pastor, let's do this, Pastor. Let's do that. I got this in my mind. I said, man, Sherry is on the go. You understand? It's going. Dan right there with her. And it's just happening. And so the prophecies come. And because, now here again, he's prophesying a lot of what's happening now. And I'm just sharing this because I want us to have a right perspective concerning prophecy. He turned to Kweku and says, hey there, young man. Y'all don't know Kweku is 100 years old. No, he isn't. But Kweku is a young man. No, I'm just messing with Kweku. But Kweku, he said, you're faithful. I said, If any of the people at Maximus, where he works, any of the unsaved, if they had anything to say about him, they would tell you that. He's faithful. Keep on being faithful. Amen. Then he went on and on, but he was saying things that we all know about one another. So everybody know Tory Diligent? Hello. Lord knows I know it. Hello. Everybody knows Justin. He said, you're going to be a no-nonsense guy. I was like, everybody knows Justin don't play games. All his friends know. Oh, yeah. Hey, man, you roll. Yeah, ain't you? Ain't happening. he just don't play. Everybody know Daphne supports me. That's my right hand. That's the neck that turns the head, as they like to say. Everyone knows she's my everything. I wouldn't be anything without her. Amen. And all y'all know, he said, when he got to me, he says, you've been feeling some health issues. And y'all know I'm always telling you, man, I'm at work, something go bing, pow, you know, and I'm like, what on earth is going on? And he said, but the Lord says, you're going to be healed and all this. And I believe God every day for whatever I feel. I just trust God to take care of this body. Come on. Hello. All right. So we see that prophecy encompasses the past, the present, and the future. And a lot of prophecy has to do with what you know. I'm going to real quick mention what Eli knew. Now, Eli is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. When Hannah wanted a child, he was the priest there at the temple. 1 Samuel 2 and 12 says, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Verse 17 says, therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And so Eli's sons were corrupt, and Eli knew this, okay? And because, let me read verses 2:22. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who were assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You talk about a sex scandal. Hello. I'm trying to put this thing in perspective. What we going on today, what's happening here today? They were going at the church. When the women came to church, his sons were laying. Hello. Okay. So we're talking about Eli is the priest. He's the top priest. And his sons were doing this. to give you an idea of the scope of this. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. How were they making the Lord's people transgress? Because when the people came to bring their offering, the priest's sons, they were throw their flesh hook into the offering, because every offering, the priest lived off the offering. You understand that when they came and offered, some of it would be for the priest's own food because they didn't work. They worked in the temple. So food was brought to them. That's how they lived. So they would stick their flesh hook in and take all of this stuff. And the people would say, well, let us at least cook it first. They said, no, we're going to take it now. And if you don't let us do it now, we're going to take it by force. This is what the priest. So what happened was, when they were that forceful with it, the people then stopped. They didn't want to bring an offering anymore because of how it was being collected. Oh, that goes on today. Well, that, yeah, I told you about it. The church, that when they take up an offering, they put up a figure. When you come give your offering, this is what we need today. We need $2,000-$3,000. And then all the people come up and give, and then they count the money, and they said, we took up $1,700. And we're going to take up another offering because I told you we need $3,000. Guess what? And then they come around and they want some more. Now, if that happens, if you were in that church, guess what? When you went in that church, you'd be like, man, I don't want to give my people. What you doing, man? They taking all my money. And you start getting mad. And you wouldn't like it. That's what was going on in Israel. And so the people were transgressed, said, you made the people of the Lord transgress. And if one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who intercedes for him? Right. Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. My, my, my. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt's house? Egypt and Pharaoh's house. Did I not choose him out of all the tribes to be my priest, to offer up on my altar? And so God is he comes to Eli through a prophet, a man of God. And the man of God says this, why, speaking for the Lord, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me? This is what God said Eli was doing. You honor your children more than you honor me. To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of my people Israel. Now, God wasn't having it. You understand? So, Eli knew all this was going on, but he didn't do anything about it. So, that was one prophecy. Remember when God called Samuel? Samuel was a little boy working for Eli. And God says, Samuel, Samuel. Eli jumps up. Samuel jumps up. He runs to Eli. He says, here I am, for you did call me. And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Go lay down again. Samuel lays down. The Lord calls him again. Samuel, he runs in. This happens three times. Show you how slow Eli is. But on the fourth time, Eli got it and says, then he realized that the Lord had called the boy. He says, this is how it'll be. The next time he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. And that's what happened. And the Lord shows up to this young boy. And this is what he says. Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house. Why am I sharing this? Because I'm sharing that God is, through the prophetic word, it was simply a confirmation. Eli already knew that his sons were corrupt. Eli already knew them laying with the women at the door. He knew they were stealing from the people. And he knew all this. And watch that God says it. He says, in that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. You know, God will never judge you for something you don't know. And having said this, let me say this. All the world knows that they're going to be judged, sinner and saint alike. Everybody knows they're going to be judged. You say, how do you know this? Well, we see it every day. When Matt Lauer was accused, when you're accused and you're guilty, what do? You walk away. You walk away. It's true. You walk away. And each one of us has a conscience. And when we do something wrong, what do we look for? When you're speeding down the highway 80 miles an hour, what are you doing? You're looking for the cops. Why? Because your conscience tells you, because you are wrong, you're going to be judged. Okay? Right? This is true the world over. Everybody knows when they've done something wrong, they're going to be judged. And so everyone knows this, but the judgment isn't just temporal. The judgment is eternal. See, the cop's going to judge you temporally. But, beloved, there's a judgment to come. And when you've done against the law of God, your conscience bears witness with you. And you know it's coming. And in the day we're living in, if you did something 25 years ago, when the world finds out about it, judgment. It's coming back. Listen, they're going to get you. This is the time that we're living in. Garrison Keillor. I don't know about, but if you listen to NPR in the mornings, you know who, the Prairie Homecoming, you know who Garrison Keillor is. I mean, my goodness. And it's over. 40-year career. Just over like that. All right. Okay, I'm going. So let me say this. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Now, you have to know that they knew they were wrong. Okay. Peter just said what he said to get it out of him. And then when he said it, when he said, did you sell the land for so much? And Ananias said, yes. And then Peter began to prophesy. Here's a prophecy. He says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie against the Holy Spirit? For you've not lied unto man, but unto God. Okay. And then when he said that, because he was prophesying what was, he didn't say, at least I don't have it open to it, but I don't know if Peter didn't say, now you're going to die because you've done this. But while he was prophesying, while he was saying what he said, let's see. Yeah, he simply said, you have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, the prophecy of his words, fell down and breathed his last. Okay. Now, when his wife came in, who knew what they had planned together, Peter said the same. Then he began to prophesy. He began to speak of the future. He says, listen, the same men who took your husband out of here, their feet are at the door and they're about to take you out. That was a prophecy. As soon as he got done prophesying, she fell down and died. They took her out. Prophecy. Listen, our words are very important. It doesn't matter when a whole lot of other people speak. Let me tell you what matters always when God speaks. When God speaks, church, it matters. Now, let me deal real quickly with the gift of the prophet. Ephesians chapter 4:11, you know that. And he himself, Christ, when he rose from the dead, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. New Testament, Judas, Silas, Paul were all prophets. Paul was an apostle, but he also occupied the office of a prophet. Okay, Acts chapter 11. Verse 27, and in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling at Judea. They also did this and sent the money by the hands of Paul and Barnabas, right? And so what we have then, there's an illustration of a New Testament prophet that was Agabus. And in this illustration, Agabus is foretelling. He's telling of a future event. And that's, like I say, that's what people get all giddy about, right? Next, we're going to see the will of God, the will of the Christian, and the will of man all contained around this prophecy. Acts chapter 21, Luke tells us that there was this one evangelist, Philip, who had four daughters who prophesied. That's verse 9, Acts 21:9. Verse 10 reads, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus, so here Agabus shows up again, came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So Agabus comes with, he's foretelling now. He's telling Paul, Paul, you're going to be bound by the Jews. When you get to Jerusalem, they're going to bind you. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because we find that all prophetic words are not for the purpose that we always think that they are. Listen, verse 12. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. If someone came to you and says, Jim, when you get to Washington, D.C., they're going to bind your hands and your feet. You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in litigation. On and on, the prophet, stop. Everyone in here will go, Jim, you know, don't go to D.C. You may even be inclined to say, well, that cancels that trip. I'm not going to D.C., right? But listen at Paul. Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. So here, number one, you have a prophecy of warning, a prophecy declaring what's going to happen in the future. And on its face, it doesn't seem good to anybody. On its face, right? But here now, so the will of God is declared. Then Paul declares his will. Well, no, the people declared theirs. They said, Paul, don't go. That's what they wanted. Now listen what God said, Paul, this is what's going to happen. In other words, this is what God is saying. I'm going to allow this to happen because I'm telling you it's going to happen. And everything that does happen, I allow to happen. Everybody clear on that? Sovereignty of God. Okay, so God lets him know his will. Then the people let him know. Let Paul know their will. Paul don't go. Then Paul said, now let me let you know what my will is. I'm going. And if I die, I die. But I'm ready. He said, the will of the Lord be done. Now you say, what happened? Did Paul die in Jerusalem? No, he died at Rome. But he died nonetheless. But he died in Jesus' name for the glory of God. We all going to die somehow. Okay? We all going to die somehow. But Paul said, whether we live or die, we want to die to the glory. We want to live and die to the glory of God. All right. Now, Acts 13:1 again is another scripture about the prophets, how they prophesied, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work of the ministry I've called them to. They fasted and prayed and they sent them away. Okay. We had a prophet who prophesied here named David Shock. When he would come, they would call him the shock treatment. Because he was so accurate. David Shock, now gone on to be with the Lord, 1987, 1988, he prophesied and said the Berlin Wall will fall. Within 2 years, the Berlin Wall will fall. Prophet who stood in this church. He didn't say it here, but he said it. And the apostle over our fellowship at the time said, you've really lost your mind now. Because that wall had been standing for, it was made and built in 1961. It was up for all those years. Okay, yeah. And but, you know, I think it was November 9th, 1989, the wall came down. David Shock, what he prophesied was a word from God. It came straight from heaven. He was the same prophet who stood over my wife and I when we were 1997, Justin and Tori were less than 2 years old. And this prophet said, your children shall help you in the ministry of the Lord. I see them. He says they're going to be helping you and they're going to be in the church and God's going to use them as a vital part of your ministry. I still have the prophetic word. And we see they've been playing here for years. The prophetic word was fulfilled. That prophet prophesied it. 2005, Prophet Bob McGregor, me and my wife were on the West Coast. He prophesied in 2005, says, I see you, Pat, you're in a different building. Whatever building you're in now, you're coming out of that building. I don't know what this means, but I see you. You're standing out another building. It's not your building. He just like, that's what the Lord showed me. That's what the Lord. And 2006, around about August, I understood perfectly why when we got sued by the county for being in that building for the wrong use permit. The wrong use permit. And we canceled that lease, and we've been in here since November 2006. So when the prophet prophesies these, and all the three of those are illustrations of foretelling. Foretelling. On occasion, the Lord will give you a prophetic word concerning foretelling. You know, that constitutes foretelling. But that's not the majority of what we need. Hello? That's not the majority of what we need. Now, I'm no prophet, but I know when Steve prophesied over my daughter, who wasn't here, he said something that I dreamt a year and a half, 2 years ago. I just been waiting. Just been waiting. Why? Because there's some things God said. See, I'm not a prophet like capital P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Okay, I'm a seer. Like, that's what I do. When God did, he does, I see things. And I don't see them. I don't fall into trances. You won't see me sitting in the house like this. You know, it's not one of those things. The Bible says when Peter was waiting to be fed, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 10, and he was hungry, went up on the top of the house to pray, he fell into a trance. Okay. Now, I don't know exactly what the trance is. But the Bible says that the young men shall see visions and the old men shall dream dreams or something like that. Now, or vice versa. I'm a dreamer. Okay? And so the Lord shows me things through dreams. And then when I see the dream comes true. You know? And that's how I know it was God. And so he prophesied something Sunday evening that when he prophesied, I said, "Dago!" I said, "Thank you, Jesus." I said, "Yeah, Lord, that's exactly what you showed me year and a half, 2 years ago, and I've just been waiting." Now, when a true prophet speaks the words of God, they come to pass. When a true prophet speaks the words of God, they come to pass. Okay? And I say that because there are a lot of people out there calling themselves prophet these days. A lot of people, you run up in the church, they'll say, "The Lord just gave me a word for you. Come over here so I can give it to you." If it's God speaking, speak it publicly. What's wrong with speaking the prophetic word publicly? Because if you speak it publicly, then we can hold you accountable publicly. Hello. So none of these corner prophecies, "Come on, I got that." Because some people use that to have dominion over your faith, and that is not at all to be the case. Let me share something with you. Deuteronomy chapter 13, 1 through 4 reads, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul." Now, this is very important because there are a lot of Christians today who follow signs. They run after ministries that perform signs. But the scripture says, well, first of all, Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "There will be many in that day say, 'Lord, Lord, have not we done many miracles in your name, prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name?' Jesus said, 'Depart from me, I never knew you.'" So it's not the sign. God said here, if the dreamer of dreams or the prophet performs a sign and the sign comes to pass, but he tells you, "Let's go worship other gods." What is God doing there? Well, he's testing what you know. What do we know? He's testing the people by the first commandment. What's the first commandment? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I don't care if the prophet calls down fire from heaven. If he says, "Let's go worship Allah," I don't care what the sign is. He can float up. He can fly across the ocean. I don't care what the sign is. You just told me to go against the written and revealed word of God. We will not do that. I don't care. You can raise the dead. You call fire down from heaven. I don't care. All I know is the Bible says, hello, that's important because in these last days, you know, there are people levitating. There are people doing all kinds of stuff. And young people be going, "Oh, they're the great power and all this." Watch it. Watch it. David Blaine with his crazy self doing all kinds of. And so the word of God is exalted above signs. Above signs, above wonders, above any prophecy. The word of God is exalted, right? I'm just saying that because we just had an excellent, fruitful, mature ministry, prophetic ministry coming to the church. I also wanted to mention the opposite, okay? Real quick, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said this: "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Okay? And so here's what we learn. False prophets have signs, but they don't have good fruit. We're called to be fruit inspectors. And so when you see a ministry, you see a life, I don't care what all the glitter and the glare is, all of that foolish. I want to know about your life, how you're living your life. What's the fruit of your ministry? What is the fruit of your life? Okay, quick. So that deals with the gift of prophecy. As I said, Carl Crawford, I believe, has a gift of prophecy. Sherita Rhodes, I believe, has a gift of prophecy. Others of us may have this gift. Okay, a person with this gift tends to speak prophetically more often. I believe Diane has the gift too. I believe when I think about when I go through, I think about different people who just they utter this gift bubbles forth. It comes out. And when I say they tend to speak prophetically more often, when I say prophetically is forthtelling. Forthtelling doesn't exclude foretelling, but is mainly forthtelling. Why? Because you and I need to be lifted up and encouraged more so than we need to know the next event that's going to come around the corner. See, you need a word from God. You need to be lifted up. You know, the Bible says when David, the people spake of stoning him when they lost all their children, the Bible says David went and encouraged himself in the Lord. He got to preaching to himself, and he spoke his own self up, right, with the word of God. Okay, on the flip side of that, I heard some crazy preachers today who, when they need a prophetic word, they lay hands on themselves, say, thus saith the Lord, yes, buy that house. Take out that jumbo loan. And they talking this foolishness. It'll prophesy to you. So we say, I prophesy to myself. Oh, so okay, you go ahead. See how that works out for you. Now, as I said before, we tend to exalt foretelling over forthtelling. Okay? Prophets tend to foretell because it's an office. It's a gift. It's the demand or the moment of God is the gift given to the body of Christ. So they tend to foretell more so than those with the gift of prophecy. But let me say this. There is more forthtelling on Tuesday evening prayer in this church than there is on Sunday morning. You say, why? Well, because everyone gets to share on Tuesday evening. Everyone gets to share. Everyone can't share today because we'd never get out of here, right? But on Tuesday evening, we get to share, we get to exhort, we get to minister to one another. But even on Tuesdays, it isn't recognized as such. But when it happens, you know it. Hello? Because I said, we're not standing up saying, I'm about to prophesy now. Romans 12 and 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. 1 Corinthians 12 and 10 says, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different types of tongues. The gift of prophecy. Let's talk about the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is present in every worship service. The spirit of prophecy is present every time we come together. Every time. Which means you and I can prophesy every time we come together. The question is not why do we prophesy so much? The question is why don't we prophesy more? That's the question. Let me read this. 1 Samuel chapter 10. I'm almost done. A few more minutes. 1 Samuel chapter 10. So when Israel asked for a king, God gave him Saul. Saul then comes to Samuel, and Samuel gives him a list of signs that were going to happen and will show him that God is going to be there for you as king of Israel. Not that God had to be, because they had just rejected God as king and they asked for a man who would be king. But God in his goodness and his grace was going to be with that king that they had asked for, right? And so Samuel prophesies to him and he says this, and it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a string instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them. And they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man. So what happens is Saul's walking through the countryside. These prophets are coming. Now, mind you, this was before David had actually made instruments and they were singing to God in the temple. This is before that. David's still a young man. We haven't even, that's 1 Samuel chapter 17 where he slays Goliath, right? No, he's not even king. He hasn't made instruments. He's not the psalmist, all that yet. This is before all that. But there were prophets during that time who had instruments going before them, and when the instruments played, the spirit of prophecy would fall on the prophets, and the prophets would begin to prophesy. Well, when Saul came up on these prophets, the prophetic anointing and spirit was so strong that when Saul came amongst these prophets, he fell out on the ground. Guess what he started doing? Prophesying. Prophesying. Now, that happens whenever, if we ever have a prophetic presbytery, which I guess I'll have to schedule at some point here again, given our size. We're small enough. Well, you can't do this when you have a really large church, too many people. But when we bring the prophets in and these prophets get all together, man, I'll tell you, was it so easy to prophesy? You sitting there and worship's high and everyone's hearing from God. You can prophesy. But now we can do that now. It's just that when the scripture comes to you, you got to say, Pastor, I think I have it. You got to be bold enough to say, I'm feeling this. I don't know. It may not be. I don't know if this is for you or what, but I'm feeling this. And you share the scripture. And if it's from God, everyone will know. Okay. And if it isn't, everyone will know. And that'll be okay. That'll be okay. Because if it ministered to you, it brought life to you. You can't go wrong with this, with the scripture. So the spirit of prophecy is present in every service. Now get this. In the same book, Samuel 19, Saul sent messengers to get David because he wanted to kill him. Watch this. And when these messengers that Saul sent to get David, when they saw the group of the prophets standing there with Samuel's leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon these messengers who came to get Saul, David to kill him. The Spirit of God came upon them and they started prophesying. Hello. And when Saul was told, he sent other messengers and they prophesied too. Then Saul sent again the third time, and they prophesied also. Here these people coming to get to do David harm. But the spirit of prophecy was so strong that they began to prophesy. Right? So then, you know, Saul said, where is David? They tell him where he is. He says, well, I'm going to go. And so when he came, the Spirit of God fell upon him also, and he went on and prophesied till he came and stripped off all his clothes, prophesied, rolling on the ground, laying down naked, not utterly naked, but out of his top coat, prophesied all night long. That's how strong the spirit of prophecy was in the Old Testament. So let me tell you what the New Testament says. Every one of us can prophesy. Hello. Every one of us can prophesy or forthtell the word of God. And this is what we need most. 1 Corinthians 14:31, for you can all prophesy one by one that the other may learn and be encouraged. Therefore, verse 39, therefore, brother, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. As I close, the purpose of New Testament prophecy. The purpose. What about all this problem? What's it for? Paul says, pursue love, because he just got finished with 1 Corinthians 13, right? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, out of all the gifts, Paul says, desire them, but especially, why prophecy? Because you got miracles, gift of faith, healing. You got knowledge, wisdom, discerning spirits, tongues, interpretation. You have all these. Why prophecy? He answers the question. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Do you know what you need more than you need someone telling you what's going to happen 2 months from now? You need edification, which is a building up. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Emmanuel and I were talking back there last week after service, and he said, why is this word ministering to me so much? This is a really powerful word. And I quoted this scripture right here. As soon as I said comfort, he's like, I didn't know I needed to be comforted. Oh, he's over there moaning and going on. I'm looking at him. He's like, oh, I didn't know. I needed to be comforted. And it finally hit him. And guess what? You and I need to hear a word from God. Listen, a gift of healing, you lay your hands on people and they get healed. One person at a time. Take me one person with that gift. But a gift of prophecy, I could speak to a whole congregation. You and I, because the words will minister and bring life. And so Paul says, listen, desire spiritual gifts. And I'm going to say to us, we need to desire spiritual gifts. When we come to church, we don't come to church just to receive. We should be like our Heavenly Father. He's a giver. He never takes in. He's always flowing out. Life. Why? Why does he take in? Because he doesn't need anything. He's always giving. He's always flowing out. Now, we need from him primarily. But then we give it out. And so when we come to church, we should come to give. Father, be with my mouth. Lord, help me, Lord, to hear your word and to declare it Sunday morning. To declare it Tuesday evening, to declare it whenever we come together. I want to hear what you're saying, Father, so that I can be a blessing to someone who's needy. There are people who need to hear from God, church. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. The Lord wants his bride to be edified. He wants the church to receive edification. Paul says this, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues unless he interprets that the church may receive edification. God is, he's all about his church receiving edification and hearing his word. Why? Because we are washed by the water of his word. And man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. And Jesus said in John 6:63, that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Whenever God speaks, life flows to you. Whenever God speaks to you, life is inundating you, is coming at you, which is reason why you and I need to hear the word of God above all things. Come on. Above all things, we need to hear the word of God. So if you feel like you have a word of prophecy for the body, you need to get my attention. If it's on a Sunday morning, I'm sitting up here with the mic, you need to get my attention. Even if it's, you say, but I'm a little afraid. Let me tell you how to start. If you want to prophesy, let me tell you, I'm not going to say it's the only way I know to do it, but it's the most comfortable, but you have to know the word. Okay. Just give a scripture. Sometimes all people need is a scripture. Come on. And so Psalm 46:1. The Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Sometimes that's all somebody needs, is that God is with you right at this very moment. When is he present? In a time of trouble. You in trouble? Yes, I am. Well, God's right there. He's right. He promised. He said I would be. So there he is. I tell you what, I'm preaching myself happy right there. I feel encouraged. I feel comforted. I feel exhorted. What you talking about? Listen, if you just give a scripture, and it can be up in front of the church. Doesn't have to be up in front of the church. You can call somebody with a scripture and prophesy. You can email somebody a scripture. You can text somebody a scripture. It doesn't have to be the world has to know, or you know that it's just we just need to be faithful to what God wants to do in and through us, right? So desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you now for your word. We thank you for divine truth. And we thank you, O God, that you gave gifts unto men. We thank you for the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and the gift of the office of the prophet. Father, we thank you, O God, that though you've given us your written word, yet you've also given us the rhema word, the spoken word, Lord, that continually speaks into our life. Father, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, would be encouraged and strengthened, built up in our inner man. So much so, God, that when we come together, we have something to give, Lord, and to be a blessing to the body, to the body of Christ around us. Lord, may we flesh this word out. May we live it, oh God, and may we be blessed in being a blessing to others, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.